Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Paranormal Horizon.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to another edition of Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir with NW Paranormal.
And I'm Pat Rice. Yeah, welcome to another great show. We've got a really great guest coming up here in a few minutes, Jason, Shirley Scott, who we both know.
Yes. Yeah, I'm very excited to talk to her. You know, when I first met her, well, the only time I met her, we were at that paranormal conference, and she was kind enough to give me a copy of her book.
Yes, and we're going to talk with her more about her book and a little bit more about what she's all about, Jason, because she has a very interesting story about how she got her gift of clairvoyance, psychic, the spiritual laws of the universe, et cetera.
And how come I don't have any gifts?
Well, you do.
If I have gifts, I haven't found them yet. I mean, that's for sure.
Well, sometimes they come later. Maybe we can talk to her about that a little bit. But, yeah, what else has been going on with you this week, Jason? Kind of a busy week?
Yeah, well, you know, my week consists of sitting around at home and messing around with Blog Talk Radio. I did want to let the listeners know that we are doing something a little bit different this evening. Normally, Pat and myself, we do the show remotely, but we are actually sitting here together and with a new audio setup. And as usual, in this world we live in, we're having some slight technical difficulties. That being that, we're trying to figure out how Pat can listen to the show. We're trying to make it work right now.
Yeah. I just called in Jason on another number. This is Pat Rice. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you, but because you're sitting next to me. But can you hear me? Awesome. Okay, well, I think we have all of our kinks out of the system, I hope. But we'll hopefully it'll end up working. I did want to also mention that this Thursday I will be a guest on Paranormal Addiction Radio, and I will be talking about my infamous or soon-to-be infamous UFO and alien abduction stories, which I happen to talk about on Paranormal Horizons a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. That's also a Blog Talk Radio
yep.
show, Jason. And also, just for everybody out there, we are not going to have a show on December 24th because that's Christmas Eve, and we will not have a show on December 31st, which is New Year's Eve.
Yes, I think that's probably a good call. I don't think very many people will be listening to the show on Christmas.
Probably not, unless they're really a paranormal diehard.
Well, you know, I think we have a few of those. I can think of a few names out there that are paranormal diehards.
Yeah, I know. Lots out there. But I did want to give, right, we're just going to get Shirley on the line here in moments, but I did want to give a little bit more background on her, Jason. As you mentioned, you were able to meet her at the Ghost Conference in Oregon City earlier this year. And I've actually interviewed her a couple of times on other shows. And she, like I said, she is a psychic. She also does animal communication, which is a real specialty. And
animal communication.
And we're going to talk about that, and we'll also talk about her books. And we'll get you her contact information and everything about Shirley. So let's go ahead and get her on the line.
I'm interested about animal communication.
Yes.
All right. Sorry, I get a little twitchy on the sound effects, so I saw an opportunity to click the cat button.
Well, it makes the show all the more interesting to have the sound effects, Jason.
Okay, then I'm forgiven. So let's get Shirley on. Shirley,
hello.
You are live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
I am good. How are you guys tonight?
We are great. You know, we're just having a lot of fun with our audio experimentation.
Yeah, we're actually doing a microphone this time here on Blog Talk Radio. Shirley, I know you've done Blog Talk before, so it's usually done all over the phone, but we're trying to get our audio a little more higher quality. But thank you so much for being with us tonight on Paranormal Horizons.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me on, you guys. I love it.
Yeah, now, it sounds like when I talked with you earlier today that winter has hit in your neck of the woods. You've got some snow, I understand.
Yeah, we have, right now, we have probably about 5 inches of snow. It's been snowing most of the day, and it's now, the sky is clear, and we're about 20 degrees going down to 11 tonight.
Wow, that is cold.
Yeah, we're going to be about that every night for the next 5 nights, they say, between 0 and 11 at night, and we'll have a really big high of about 22. So.
Oh.
Blistering.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's the season, and nothing like a white Christmas.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. We have a nice little house in the woods with wood stove heat, and so it's nice and toasty, and it's great.
Yeah, right on. Sounds like you're in a beautiful place.
I am.
Yeah, so Shirley, I have talked with you before, as I mentioned, and I know that you had an amazing experience, or maybe the word isn't amazing, but something that happened to you that led you in to this journey that you're on. And I was hoping that you would share with the audience what had happened to you.
Absolutely. You know, because it seems like even though it's been 14 years ago, in the year 2000, it seems like yesterday almost when this happened, I had an allergic reaction to aspartame. And within 4 minutes of taking a mint in my mouth that was sweetened with aspartame, my veins started to collapse in my body. And luckily, the paramedics were only, at that time I was living in Oregon City, the paramedics were only blocks away from me, and I happened to get on my phone, and I knew I was dying. It's an amazing feeling when you know you're dying.
No, that's weird.
It is, because it's just like, oh, this is not good. I know I'm going to die here. And they got there within 5 minutes, and I think it was less than 5 minutes. By then, enough of my veins had collapsed. I couldn't see. I could barely walk. You know, I had hives. My tongue was starting to come out of my mouth, you know. And I opened the door, and when they saw me, the first thing they said was, you know, what did you eat? Because they obviously knew it was a reaction to some food. I handed them the box of mints, walked back into my living room, and the next thing I knew, I was watching them work on me outside my body. You know, I was in great pain just before I obviously passed out. And the real fun thing was when I was in this white cloud floating, I was just to the right of my body and about 3 feet off the ground. There was no panic. There was no anxiety. And I was like, wow, I really am dying. Look at them. I could see my body with the oxygen mask and the heart monitor, and they had tourniquets on both arms trying to find a vein so that they could get something in my veins to help open them up. And they were having a real hard time doing that. And every time, it was just amazing. Every time I thought, you know, what are they doing or why are they doing this, I can remember thinking it in this white cloud, and they would answer me just like I ask them.
That's amazing.
And I could see everything that was going on. And, you know, one said, I can't find a vein. And I thought, you know, oh, my gosh, I've got great veins. I've always been told that. The other one was taking my blood pressure under a tourniquet. Now, if anybody knows about taking a blood pressure, if you take it under a tourniquet, it should be sky high. And so I said, you know, what is he doing? That's going to make my blood pressure really high.
Yeah.
And the minute I thought that, he said her blood pressure is 69 over 38 and dropping.
Wow.
And that's when I went, wow, I am really dying. And I started to kind of look around to see where I was, and I was in this wonderful white cloud. It was so peaceful, and, you know, even though I knew my body was dying, there was no panic. Until I heard somebody down the hallway in my house, and I looked down, and there was a third paramedic, and he was bringing out the chest paddles.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And he said, how soon until, you know, code? And the one paramedic said, well, about 30 seconds at this rate. And, you know, I didn't think about the chest paddles bringing me back to life or anything. I thought, those bruised bodies, I don't want my body bruised.
Yeah, no kidding.
And well, about the time that I thought that, this voice behind me said, then go back and stay conscious. And I turned around to see who was talking to me, and I slammed back in my body. And I can remember slamming back into my body so hard that I went, ah! And both the paramedics yelled, and they found a vein and started squeezing saline solution into my body.
Hmm.
That's amazing. You know, we hear a lot about aspartame and how bad it is for you, and I'm sitting here drinking a Diet Coke, and, yeah, I need to stop drinking diet stuff.
Aspartame, what happens with it, it builds up in your system, and then you never know. I mean, all of a sudden you'll have a reaction to it.
Yeah, I've got, like, weird neurological problems, and it's been suggested to me that aspartame could be the problem. So I'm making a personal commitment on the show to... Stop taking that poison.
No more Diet Coke.
No more Diet Coke. You know, don't take anything with aspartame in it. It's better to take sugar because your body knows what real sugar is. It doesn't know what the artificial stuff is. And I've learned this through my allergy because aspartame literally changed the way I eat and the way I have to eat because it changed my system so much that I can only have evaporated cane juice and honey now. Any refined sugars will make me react in a negative way. So I have to really watch what I eat. I don't eat processed food anymore.
Well, that's healthier anyway, Shirley.
Yeah,
almost everything's processed now.
I know. Well, I make a lot of my own food.
Yeah, definitely.
But
so, Shirley, you slammed back into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened after that?
Well, they took me to the hospital where I spent the night in the critical care unit, which was I thought that was a lot of fun because the heart monitors and stuff that are on you, you can make jump if you move too fast. So I was having a pretty good time. the nurses wanted me out, let me tell you.
Yeah.
When I got home the next day is when I realized that something was really different. I had a friend that came over, and I saw energy around her head, which we call an aura. And then I started seeing things on the wall, you know, like there was a person that kind of came through the wall at me and told me that it was a spirit guide and not to worry, this is what I was going to be seeing. And then I went to dinner with somebody a couple of days later, and the waitress wasn't feeling well. And I looked up at her and I said, oh, you know, that the pepperoni that you had on that pizza last night wasn't good.
And oh, my gosh.
She looked at me and she said, how did you know that? And I was like, oh, God.
So that experience, though, of seeing the aura and seeing somebody come through the wall was totally new for you, or had you had that before?
I had seen somebody's aura before, about 6 months before I had started really a spiritual path and had been down in Mexico, and I really did see somebody's aura then. But this was like I could look at people, you know, any time and go, wow, there's, you know, there's a big energy around them or a little energy. Where before I had only seen one aura and hadn't really paid too much attention to anything else. But this experience was, you know, lots of things started happening where I was seeing more things that I didn't know what I was seeing. Really started going to, I actually went to a psychic school for a year to hone in on my energy and what was happening and let them explain to me what I was seeing and why I was seeing it and that I wasn't totally nuts, you know.
Do you think, I was curious, do you think that everybody has a spirit guide? Because I feel kind of alone on this planet. It'd be nice to know
everybody
that
has
something.
Spirit guide.
Yeah.
We are born with spirit guides. Spirit guides, usually we have one main spirit guide that comes to us at birth, and then we can have others come and go to help us through our whole life. You know, whenever I write, I ask for all the writers that are spirit guides on the other side to come help me, or if I'm painting, I'll ask for that. Or we can ask for as many spirit guides as we really need to help support us. If we start asking, that's the main thing, is we do have to ask. We have to ask and acknowledge. Even if you don't feel them or don't see them, once you ask, they're there. And once you're done with the project, it's always really good to say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always kind of...
Do you have a spirit guide?
I feel alone. I'm definitely having the two hardest years of my life, and I suffer, you know, and I think we talked a little bit about it a while back when we met, but, you know, just terrible anxiety and things just haven't seemed to have been going right. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Things are starting to improve, but, you know, it'd be nice to know that there is some sort of ethereal support out there. And it is comforting to hear your story about your near-death experience. You know, obviously, like everybody else or most people, fear death. And it always interests me to hear those stories quite a lot.
Death is nothing to be feared. Because it's just a transition. My dad, being an animal communicator, a lot of people ask me about their animals who have crossed. And, you know, I talk to a lot of spirits on the other side, animals and people. And my dad, just before he passed away, and my dad passed away very quickly. He was only sick for about 3 weeks. But about a week and a half into it, he had to be put in a nursing home because my mom couldn't take care of him. But she walked in this one day, and he looked at her, and he said, what are all the dogs doing here today? And my mom looked at him and said, what dogs? What are you talking about? And he said, I can hear them out there. I can hear them barking. I can hear the dogs. Open the door. I want to see the dogs. So my mom opened the door to his room, and about that time she said there was a man being pushed in a wheelchair that looked like he was going to die at any time. And my dad pointed to him and said, see his dog with him? What is this, bring your dog to work day? So my mom called me and said, what is your dad seeing? And so I asked my spirit guide, and my dad was actually seeing the pets that these people had had, and he was hearing the dogs that these people had had that were with them, just waiting for them to cross to meet them again. So in my dad's death, he validated everything, all of my work that I've been doing for years.
And that brings me up to another question, and you kind of answered it, but do animals have the same kind of souls that people do? And the reason I ask this is there was a doctor back in the early 1900s, and he did a study, and I had mentioned it on the show before, but what he did is he weighed people at the time of death, and
right.
He did it many times and said that the people's souls weigh like an ounce, and then he did a bunch of dogs, and there was no loss. So I was wondering if, you know, that could be a quack thing. I don't think there was any peer review on that study. But I was wondering, do animals, like I'm a cat person, a horse, and a bird person, do they have the same type of souls that we do?
They do have a soul, and they do reincarnate, and they do go to a heaven over there. And the reason, and I'm going to answer that question, the reason that I'm hearing right now from my spirit guide that they don't actually lose the same weight is because animals have a greater ability to jump out of their body before death. If they know that the body's going to die, many, many times they're already out of the body before the body takes a last breath. It's like when a lion would jump on a zebra or something. They can jump out of their body before the lion actually kills them. It's kind of like, and I equate it to if somebody is being tortured or even, you know, a rape victim, that's a lot of them say, and kids do too, that if they're tortured, they were sitting, you know, in a corner kind of in the room or in the ceiling watching things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really feel it or were so detached from it. And animals can do that. So when animals die, there's not the same kind of release that there is for a human most of the time. Because we're a more attached to our body than they are, they can jump out much easier and much quicker.
So can a dog, say if a dog dies, can he reincarnate as a person, or is he stuck in kind of dog reincarnation purgatory, being a dog over and over again?
Well, my belief systems, and you know, Buddhists believe they can come back as anything, you know, that we can come back as anything we want. My belief system says that we started to do that and we got caught in, as the universe and the planet got more gravity, we kind of got caught. That's what, you know, Pan, the half man, half goat, mythical being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't really mythical, but a lot of the Greek myths and legends, you know, of half people and half animals, that started happening. And so the creator, whether you call it God, the universe, whatever, said, you know what, we're going to kind of put a stop to this because you are at a little higher level than they are. And so we're not going to have that happen anymore. In saying that, I have run into humans that say they remember being animals. And I believe that that's happened because when we first came to Earth, we were shapeshifters. We were from out of space. We could go into the water and become the water and feel it. We could go into the tree. We could go into the animals. And then gravity started getting heavier and the Earth started changing, and so we started getting stuck. So we stopped doing that. So when people say, well, I remember being a dolphin, you know, they probably were at one time a shapeshifter where they could do that. Now things have changed enough where animals come back as animals, but they can come back as any species of animal they want to. I have found mm-hmm. in my experience, you know, say dogs, for example, usually stay a dog for like 3 or 4 lifetimes, and then they want to go to something else so that they can learn to be a different species. Just like when we come back, you know, we're man, woman, we're black, we're white, we're, you know, yellow, we're rich, we're poor, we're, you know, all sorts of different scenarios that we come back to live and learn and grow our soul. They do the same thing.
So Shirley, another question about the animals' spirits and coming back. Do you believe that the animals, when they reincarnate, that they'll come back to the same human companion?
If they're a soul animal, they will. Soul animals follow us from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. We're very connected. It's almost like a soulmate. We're very connected to them. They're very connected to us. They come back to us when we need them. They, are around us, giving us love when we need it the most and help us through life lessons. If they're not a soulmate, chances are no. They won't come back to the same person. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's funny because sometimes we'll take in animals that we're really not close to and give them a good home here on Earth just to help them through their path. And then they will leave us and then, you know, they'll find who they're supposed to go to in the next lifetime. Yeah.
I see. Now, Shirley, with your animal communication, and I imagine you get a lot of requests from people for this, wondering, you know, about their animal that has passed away, or maybe it's an animal that's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have this question, like if I was facing putting my dog down, I would want to know, is she ready? You know, or is that, do you help people with that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time I help people with that. Because, you know, people are so connected with their animals that a lot of times they'll miss the message, yes, I'm ready, or no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I will get hold of the animal and, you know, find out if they're suffering or what the animal thinks. Because animals really do look at death differently than we do. They pretty much know where they're going. They're pretty connected to the other side. And they know when they're coming back. Plus, they can see spirits and they can smell spirits. And so they know that there's a different dimension that they're going to. You know, dogs can, and even cats can see spirits walk into a house and they can smell them.
Really?
So yeah. So, they live in this different world because they live in the present moment. If more of us lived in the present moment all the time like animals, we would see more, what most people call dead people. I like to call them, you know, alive on the other side, life after life.
See dead people.
yeah. And they're not really dead. You know, it's a dimensional change. And it's an energy change. You know, we're no longer in a heavy body. We're back in our energy body. And animals can see that. They sense it. They know it.
Yeah. I've heard that before, too, you know, from other folks I've talked to about the animals. And also, it's really interesting what you talk about, Shirley, that animals view death differently. And they are more connected to the other side.
Yeah. They really are.
I find
are.
That interesting.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Oh, I don't want to. No,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had a quick question here, and it's a little, I don't know if it's off topic. Well, it's the same topic, but kind of the other side of it. You know, we've talked to an archbishop, and I've talked and interviewed demonologists, and I was wondering what you thought on, you know, are there evil spirits? Are there demons? Because we've heard a lot of compelling stories, you know, especially from Archbishop Ron Fail.
Yes, we have.
Regarding some exorcisms he's performed. Now, personally, I'm a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the picture is much more broader than just good and evil. But I was wondering what your take on that was, Shirley.
On demons, we have created demons. And if you look at life from the energy aspect that it really is, you know, we're all energy. And whatever energy we put out to manifest what we want to, we can do it. Our brains are very powerful power plants. I mean, they're just, we don't even understand how powerful we are. And demons are something that we have created over centuries. We have put energy into believing that demons exist. And so we actually have manifested some of the existence of this real negative energy source. And so a negative energy source will live off a negative energy source. And if you really believe in something, if you totally believe in it, you are going to manifest it. If you, Jason, if you really believe that you could become invisible, you would become invisible. If you really believe that you could levitate, you could levitate. It's that one little doubt that lets us down. But if people really think that they are being haunted, or, you know, a curse doesn't work unless you believe you're cursed, okay? You know, you're laughed off. There are dark spirits out there that haven't crossed. They haven't gone into the light, that they like to play, you know, some nasty little games, because they're not gone into the light. They still are attached to Earth, and they are dark entities that don't want to go into the light. Those do exist. When it comes to demons and stuff, we've created them.
And yeah, and what you're saying is exactly what I believe. I think that people do create it, and then they basically are manifesting it into their reality, so much so that they're suffering from physical attacks and all that stuff we hear about. And, you know, it's funny, and this is kind of a dumb little story. I have a terrible slot machine addiction. So I was reading Wayne Dyer's book, Power of Intention.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically says, you know, that, you know, same kind of thing, that we manifest, you know, we can manifest stuff for us in the physical world. And I started to believe it and listen to it. And I swear, Pat, that I was winning more when I went in with that frame of mind as I pushed that button.
Yeah. Hey,
exactly.
I do believe that's possible also.
Right. Well, you know, there are Buddhist monks that concentrate on the palm of their hand, and they concentrate so hard they can actually form a dust. It's called Vibhuti, and it's a dust out of thin air. Now, if they can create that in the palm of their hand out of thin air, you can create scratches on your body that you think a demon is doing.
Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to, say, become more adept at being able to create my own reality and manipulate the world around me, what kind of exercises or what would you suggest a person do if they wanted to take control better?
First of all, you have to have some positive thought. I mean, seriously, positive thought. And the universe doesn't hear, I don't want this. They don't hear, the universe doesn't hear, don't. It's a positive charged universe, believe it or not. And so you need to change your way of thinking and only think about what you want, because that's the energy that goes out of your brain and goes and hits the same like vibration. I want this. When you say, I don't want this, that's a negative, and it will bring you what you don't want, because it doesn't hear don't, because you're concentrating on what you don't want. So the energy goes out on that level instead of concentrating on what you want.
Now, are there
all of the more humans concentrate on what they don't want, and they get what they don't want because they're concentrating on that vibration instead of saying, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to get.
That's really true. I know what you're talking about, Shirley. And, you know, Jason, when you start thinking about it, it's kind of, we don't really think about it that way normally. Like Shirley's saying, we say, oh, I don't want this car. I hate this car. This car is, you know,
mm-hmm.
no longer good for me. But you're focusing, I want a new car. But you're focusing so much on what you don't want.
Exactly.
That you're not getting what you want.
Exactly.
I'm constantly afraid I'm going to have a heart attack because I'm constantly worried about having a heart attack. I need to change my thought
process.
And
you will get it then. And you will get it then, Jason. What you want to change that to is, you know what, I'm healthy. Every night I thank my body for being healthy, for, you know, being well. And it's the example I want to give you is people say, oh, I've been trying to come down with a cold for a week. And you go, why would you want that?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been trying to come down with it. Don't know what you say is, you know what, that cold germ has no power over me.
Mm-hmm.
And you move
mm-hmm.
forward. Okay.
Well, there's so much
to that, too. Yeah, I have a CD out that's called Going Beyond Positive Thought. And it's taking those positive thoughts, and then you take the step to do the action, and then you take the another step to manifest what you want in your life. You can think positive thoughts, but you do have to take some action. So it's my newest CD, as a matter of fact.
I see.
It's really, you know, it really gives you some tools on how to think positively and then take the steps to manifest what you want in your life.
I think people underestimate the power of the brain. I mean, I just look at simple things that are well studied, such as the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if your mind can do that, then, you know, why can't
your
do greater
mind
things?
Can do
definitely
anything.
Now, before we continue on
yeah.
this train of thought, Shirley, talking about positive thoughts, and I want to talk with you more about your CDs and your books. Just want to remind the audience you're listening to Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio with myself, Pat Rice, and Jay Sophia. And our very special guest this evening is Shirley Scott. As a reminder, you can listen to this episode and all of the Paranormal Horizon shows is on demand immediately after the show. Jason, do you have a commercial you're going to play for us real quick?
Yeah, I think we should. I got a 40-second commercial. I think we should go to that real
quick. All right.
Quick.
Shirley, stay on the line.
Okay.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells the story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.
God, I love making those, Pat.
That was a good commercial. That was one of our guests that we've had in the past, Edwin Becker, and he does have some absolutely amazing books. And welcome back here to Paranormal Horizons, Shirley Scott, psychic, animal communicator. You just talked about a CD that you had created on positive thoughts. Now, tell us what other CDs and books you have, Shirley.
My other CDs, I have one out that's called Face Your Fears, Change Your Life, and it talks about the fears that we have that hold us back from really going forward in our life and living the life we are meant to live. You know, I just quit my job and moved to my cabin in the woods and said I'm going to trust that I'm going to do my readings and my spiritual work from here, and I'll be supported, and it's been working. So we have to take that jump sometimes with knowledge. So it talks about that. And then my other one is Animal Communication and Telepathy, and it's a beginner's CD for people who want to start learning animal communication, and talks about telepathy and how it works. And then I have my brand new book out. It's called Religion versus Spirituality, One Psychic's Point of View. And it talks about religion versus spirituality and how rules and fears and things that have been, you know, plugged into us for 1,000 years can really ruin the way we have freedom and the way we want to move forward with our life, and how scared we can be because somebody says, you know, you can't do that, or that's, you're not supposed to do that, or, you know, it's amazing what religion has done to us, because it's held a lot of people back from using their gifts in this world, thinking that, you know, they were manifested the devil or whatever that is. And so that book is, and I have a Christmas special, actually. If you go to my website and buy the book, the CD, Going Beyond Positive Thought, is free. So if anybody wants to go to my website, which is Shirley-Scott.com. There's a hyphen between my name, Shirley-Scott.com, and orders my book, I will send them the CD free.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Now, Shirley, we're kind of jumping around topics here, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about the animal communication, because it's something that I'm personally interested in, too. And can you help people find lost pets?
I can. I do that. It's that a harder thing to do. If you ask any animal communicator, many of them won't do it. They will. They refuse to do it, because when a pet is on the run, they're in survival. they show you partial pictures. It's very difficult to say to the owner, okay, this is where they are right now, and, you know, in 2 seconds they're someplace else. So I do help find them and at least get somebody in the right direction where they can go and find the animal. If the animal is crossed, I let them know that. Or if the animal is with somebody, a lot of times what happens when an animal is needs are being taken care of because they live in the present moment, they don't send a lot of messages sometimes. You know, you get a house with, you know, some curtains or, you know, they say, oh, yeah, the, you know, this nice man and woman have me. Because it's all, most of communication with animals are pictures that they send you. They do once in a while, depending on the animal, you will hear some words, but most of it is interpreting what they're sending you from their world.
I see. That does make sense, too, that it's harder to find lost pets.
Yeah.
And them being on the run makes a lot of sense that they're just in the survival mode.
Mm-hmm. And they know, too, when they're on the run, if they put out a lot of information to where they are, a predator will pick that up because predators, I mean, animals with their telepathy and their messages interact with interspecies. You know, it's like when the zebras and the lions are at the watering hole and everybody's drinking and everything's fine until, you know, the one lion goes, oh, I'm hungry. And the zebras get it and they're gone, you know.
Yeah.
And so the animal kingdom is like that. They communicate with each other through telepathy, through body language, through pheromones, you know, and so they don't put out a lot of stuff sometimes, and because they're in so much fear, they shut down sometimes.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, jumping back to kind of the psychic, clairvoyant stuff that you do, Shirley, what do you do for folks? Can people come to you and talk about past lives?
Mm-hmm. I do past lives readings so that we can help them come forward with whatever they, you know, a lot of people bring baggage from past lives with them. And we can go back and see what a past life has done and bring that forward so that it can help them in this lifetime. I do that a lot, and that's really fun. It's usually a lot of fun for the person and for me, and give them a lot of knowledge of, you know, why they might be scared of heights or why they might have a birthmark or maybe, have a pain someplace that they can't get rid of. So I do that for people. I do regular psychic readings for people. I actually started with humans, and then I can cross the veil for them and get hold of, you know, loved ones on the other side. And then with pets, a lot of people will come to me with their health issues with the pet, behavior issues, that type of stuff.
Now, Shirley, when you say cross the veil, just for the audience that might not know what you mean, do you mean being able to talk to loved ones that have crossed to the other side? Or
right.
Is that what the veil means?
Yeah, when you cross the veil, it's, you know, there's a thin veil of this dimension and the dimension when we say we die. And it's very thin anymore. And you can ask those people on the other side to come through. Sometimes they come through. Sometimes somebody else comes through that you're not really, you know, understanding is going to come through. I mean, I have no control over that. But most of the time, our loved ones on the other side really do want to talk to us. They want us to know that they're fine. They want us to understand that they're not dead, that they are still alive.
Yeah, and I can only imagine that it would be comforting to so many people that have lost loved ones, especially if they lose somebody unexpectedly, to be able to get some kind of communication from someone. It's probably a big help.
It is, and, you know, I mean, my dad's over there now, and, you know, I talk to him a lot and ask him for his help, and he meets me in my dreams a lot. And it's nice to know that he is good, he's okay, and, you know, he explains things to me from over there. It's really, it's nice thing. No, and I want Jason to know that you're not alone. Nobody is ever alone.
Thank God.
Never. No. All you got to do is just start talking to him. You have a very nice man around you. He's tall. He's thin. He's telling me that he's like from Greece. He's more like a Greek. Yeah, a Greek man. But he's taller than what the Greeks were. Very thin, olive skin complexion. Really a nice guy. And he wants you to know that he is around you. He's telling me that you can call him Greg, actually.
Greg, write that down, Patrice. Greg.
Got it written down.
And he wants you to know that you can call on him for anything. He's there to help you. He's there to help you, guide you. You can never ask for too much. If you, you know, if you're not supposed to get it in this lifetime, you're not going to get it. But you can never ask for too much because we all have a contract. But, you know, start asking. Let him know you feel alone and ask him for a sign that he's around and then just be prepared for something. You know, people say, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned a man, and this may or may not be related, but about 15, 20 years ago, I was in my truck by myself and a bunch of friends, a family of Mormons, not that that's relevant, but I would consider them to be good witnesses. They were driving behind me, so I was alone in my truck. When we got to our location, I got out, and everybody in that car, there's five or six people, were asking who was the man sitting next to me in the truck, and this man had his head turned towards me.
Mm-hmm. He was talking to you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird.
Well, and I'm going to tell you that a lot of people, too, will say to me, oh, well, I think I saw something out of the corner of my eye, but it had to be my imagination. And what I tell everybody, yes, it was, because imagination really literally means image and energy. And so if it's not there in some form of energy, whether you can see it or just feel it in your body and your senses know it's there, and imagination and psychic ability are very much connected because they're both having to deal with the energies, the unseen energies. So when somebody says it was my imagination, please, yeah, it was. And know
I
that
love
that's
that.
Part, yeah, it's part of the psychic ability. Absolutely. Yeah.
I also saw a man standing in my closet once. How's that for creepy?
Cool.
Maybe it was Greg.
Maybe. I thought it was an alien, but, I mean, it was a man. He had a round brim hat and a dark suit. But, you know, I'm kind of a logical person. I'm an investigator by trade, so I thought maybe it was just one of these hypnagogic hallucinations. You know, your brain hasn't quite clicked over to the conscious realm.
So next time you see something like that, Jason, or you feel that, ask, literally, whether it's verbal or with your mind, ask, who are you and what do you want? And see what happens. That's what I do whenever I see a ghost or an apparition. I say, who are you and what do you want?
And is it correct to say that if it is some evil that, or at least if it was a demon, that it would be my own creation?
Pretty much. Hmm. And it could be a demon from the past, from a past life that you've created. That's just
following
you around. Yeah.
It's all very interesting. I mean, I totally believe you because this is the same line of thought that I've kind of adopted with the whole creating your reality and stuff like that.
Now, Shirley, getting back to the spirit guides, so, for example, using Jason as the example.
I'll be an example.
And his spirit guide, Greg, now that he knows that he's around and he can be more aware, I'm a firm believer just in that if you start becoming more aware and then you can actually say, help me, if you're in a challenging situation or something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I am always talking to my spirit guides. A lot of times, even when I'm in the store and I've got my Bluetooth in my ear, I'll be talking to my spirit guides. Everybody thinks I'm on the phone. but I'm literally talking to my spirit guides. So, talk to them just like they're real people because they really are. They're just in a different dimension, and they try to help you all they can.
So, Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask was, are they, obviously Greg is potentially from Greece, so he's just a regular human spirit that said, hey, I want to keep an eye out on Jason?
Yeah, usually a spirit guide will have a past life with us of some kind, and it's somebody that in that lifetime we've really trusted, we have a soul connection with them, and so they will say, well, I'll tell you what, you go back to Earth this time, and I'll be your spirit guide. No matter what happens, I'll be with you. And we trust them that much that we say, okay, let's do that.
Oh, okay. Now, what about somebody that just has a horrific life surrounded by tragedy, maybe terminal illness? How does the whole thing equate to that? Is that just something that they've agreed that they've had to, that they have to go through when they come?
A lot of people will agree to that because it really advances the soul very quickly. Some of that, and this is on an individual level, some of that could be past karma. Maybe, they were a mass murderer in one of their lifetimes, and so they have to come back and pay that karma back and really go through maybe what somebody else went through. A lot of times people who have got ailments or maybe have deformities of their hands and stuff, cut off somebody else's hands in a lifetime, and so now they have to come back and relive a lifetime that with what they did to somebody else as their karmic payback. So it's on a very individual basis that karma or why we're going through stuff, have we manifested it? Is it part of our contract? Is it karma? And you have to look at all of those when you're a reader. You have to really, the universe will tell you and let you know if that's, what they're going through.
And so if we keep coming back and having all these experiences, what is the end game with this? I mean, where are we trying to what are we trying to achieve in the end spiritually? I mean, is it to be
spiritually?
Like,
well, spiritually, you've got to figure that we never die, and there's 100 million universes out there that we can live. And so in this universe, a lot of times we'll come back until we've got all of our karma healed, and maybe we do become somebody else's spirit guide. And then from there, if we want to go on to someplace else, we can usually go on to someplace else. I mean, you've got, space is so big you can't imagine. It's endless, and we, as humans, can't fathom that. We think, oh, we're the only, beings around. That's just bull. I mean, there's so many universes out there with other beings, and some of them, want to come to Earth when they're done with their universe because there's different things to learn all over. The main thing that we have to remember is whoever created us, whatever you want to call the creator, the universe, whatever, because we have this creative DNA, we have to keep creating too. Whether it's negative or positive, we keep creating. And that means that we create here and we create on the other side and we go further. And it's always creating, always, 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 just like the energy that's out there creating the other universes now. We are a small universe of our own creating.
And I'm glad you brought up aliens, because that was actually one of my questions, if UFOs existed. And But seriously, I've had a lot of weird, trippy things, and Pat knows this, and I've just now started to talk about it on the internet radio. So I was kind of curious where that is. Are we being visited and why? I mean,
yes, we are being visited. We are being visited, and why not? Many of them have known about us for a long time, and if we really think about it, we probably know who they are because I think we have come from out there, and a lot of us have traveled around, as light beings. We can travel any place we want to. We don't have to have oxygen when we're in the spirit body. We don't have to eat. We don't have all those, things to tie us down. We can go any place we want to. And once we cross over, we learn that and we, know what's going on out there. And so I think there are all sorts of beings too from other planets that have died that are out there too. You know, billions, could trillions of souls out there. We can't even begin to count how many souls are around.
And I've often,
just because you're an alien doesn't mean you don't have a soul. So.
Yeah, and I've often wondered if, you know, if Pat, have you ever had a dream where it was real and you thought it was real, and then you woke up and you're like, you finally have this intense realization, you know, that you've just come back into the real world. I've kind of wondered if that happens when you die and you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And you do. It's like when I was in the white cloud and my body was dying and I was, you know, just floating in this cloud, it was the greatest feeling in the world. And I knew, and I kept saying, and I can remember this, oh, look, my body's dying. It wasn't, oh, look, I'm dying. It was, look, my body's dying. And it was so extremely interesting, without any panic, no anxiety. And I had no pain. It was beautiful. It was an amazing experience.
Is it safe to assume that then hell doesn't exist? Or do the people that have these near-death experiences that experience hell, I kind of believe my thought process is that they're creating it themselves, much like we do in the physical world. They're kind of creating this hell, you know, when they die in the spiritual world, maybe to make atonement for stuff they've done. I don't know.
Yeah, I have not run into hell. I have run into spirits who don't want to go into the light. That, to me, could be a hell because they have not... they didn't believe that there was, you know, what you want to call a heaven on the other side. There's really not a heaven. It's just a transition. But it's a great place. There's, you know, there's a lot of light and love and all that. But there are people that just don't want to do that. And because we have free will, not everybody goes there if they don't want to. Free will is another thing that we don't understand. It's huge. Free will is huge, and we can decide whether to go into the light, not go into the light, where we want to go, what we want to do. If we want to walk this earth and, you know, haunt somebody, you know, we can do that. This is free will.
Well, Pat, I'm looking at the clock here, and it looks like we are running out of time.
We are running out of time. Funny how the time flies when you're...
Well, Pat, before we go, I want Pat to
talking
do one
with
exercise with
interesting
with your,
topics and things like that. And I just wanted to let everybody know again that you can contact Shirley at her website, shirley-scott.com. Right. And on your website, Shirley, that'll list all of your books and CDs, and you are having a Christmas special. Now, is that also how someone can actually schedule a reading with you, whether it's an animal communication or maybe just a personal reading? Do they
Absolutely.
Do that through your website?
Yep, there's a contact page, and they can email me, and we'll set up an appointment from there. They can tell me what they want. My rates are on there also. There's a lot of information about me. They can read all the information about me too.
I think Pat had her headset off. You were going to ask a question, and
I was going to tell Pat. I want to tell everybody that if you have a pet, you are an animal communicator, and if you sit down at night when your pet is kind of relaxed and half asleep and call their name telepathically for about 5 minutes, watch what they do. Don't say their name verbally, but watch what they do. It takes about 5 minutes for it to get through to them sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
They'll turn around and look at you, or else they'll come from another room and look at you like, what?
Okay. I'm going to try that, Shirley. I'll let you know what happens.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because I have a dog, and I actually have 5 cats. So
yeah, I have 5 cats too. Yeah,
I love them. But Shirley, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to talk with you again, as always.
Yes, it's been fantastic.
It's been
fun.
Call me anytime you want. I would love to be back on.
Okay, and listen, we wish you a very happy holiday season.
Thank you.
Stay
you
warm.
Too. All right.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thank you
thank
very
you so much.
Much,
Shirley.
All right, Shirley. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, Jason, another episode just flew by.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I got a lot of my questions answered.
Yeah, she is really a great person to talk to because she is so grounded. And when she talks, to me at least, the way that I interpret it, she talks in real, you know, easy ways to understand. There's nothing mm-hmm. really airy-fairy about it, and in terms that really make sense to me. So I always enjoy talking to Shirley Scott. And now next week, Jason, we're working on a guest, and we don't have that person lined up yet. We are going to have an astrologer, hopefully, in a couple of weeks, and talk about astrology, kind of what's going on in the stars. So lots to look forward to. And then
Absolutely.
Again, we won't have an episode on Christmas Eve, December 24th, or December 31st for New Year's Eve. We will not have a show. So you'll just have to listen to an on-demand show.
Yeah, and we are getting, we're a newer show, but we're getting quite a few on-demand shows out there.
Yeah.
We should probably mention to check us out on our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And we also want to give a shout-out to our friends at Beyond the Edge of Reality, also on Blog Talk Radio. That's a show that I used to co-host. And, you know, I was going to say something else, but I can't remember what it was.
That certainly happens. So I just want to say thanks for listening. Jason, it's been a pleasure to do the show with you again this
Absolutely.
Evening.
Absolutely, it's been fun.
And stay tuned for next week's episode.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.